This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show. Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Getting ready for the football weekend. I'll give you my picks coming up a little bit later on. We'll try to link up with LaVon Kirkland as well to break down the Palmetto Bowl. And a whole lot more in this final hour of the week heading into the busy football weekend. Speaking of which, make sure you get your picks in. You have till 5 p.m. today for our weekly Pick'em contest. Go pick your winner in that Palmetto Bowl. 5 p.m. today, head over to charlestonsportsradio.com to make your picks. The winner could get themselves a Fan Zone gift card. I'll give you my picks in terms of the number, you know, the spread coming up. But for these rivalry games, just to pick an outright winner, I do think Ohio State beats Michigan, but I think it'll be close. I think Alabama handles Auburn, and I think by a good amount. I would take Clemson to beat South Carolina. And the one I struggle with most, Oklahoma State. I would like to pick Oklahoma State to win. I think they've been the better team. I think they match up well. They have the defense. They're favored, but just based off of what we've seen. And maybe that's not fair. I've said it about Georgia all year. The only reason you doubt Georgia is because of, you know, the past games or past seasons, the way they have ended, which has nothing to do with this team. And maybe we can't see the forest for the trees, right? You can't see how good Georgia truly is because you keep expecting them to fail in that big spot. Similar here. Maybe I'm underrating Oklahoma State because I just don't trust them in these rivalry games. Different season, different teams. They have a much better defense this year than they've had in over a decade. That's the game I struggle with the most for these rivalries. I think I would pick Oklahoma State to win, but I wouldn't feel very confident. Hard to trust them in this rivalry. The Palmetto Bowl, of course, tomorrow night. You can join the conversation before we go this afternoon, 843-721-9500. Let's go to the phones. Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
All right. We don't have a reveal class today because I got to disagree. Auburn was a good victory last time. So that means Shea Bieber Gamecocks is on an all-time high. I hope that there's not too much overconfidence, but with a different quarterback look. I would say Jason Brown would throw at least a touchdown or two to beat Clemson tomorrow night.
So you got South Carolina winning. What do you think for a final score?
I would say 21-14.
21-14. All right. So you got the Gamecocks winning by a touchdown, low-scoring game, and you think they snap this losing streak?
Yeah. Because they got a real good defense. Because they play good against Auburn. You got to remember that. And not only that, I picked Ole Miss to beat Mississippi State. They beat them by 10.
Yeah, how about that? So you're already feeling good. You're on a little bit of a roll. So you feel good about your picks this
weekend. All my games were good. Doc said the Cowboys was going to lose, and they lost.
They did.
So there you go.
You think Tom Brady wins this weekend?
Sure.
Yeah,
he's already picked up two or three wins now.
Yeah.
So he's going on an all-time high. He'll be back in the Super Bowl. It just depends on who's going to. But whoever does, it's going to be Brady company, because as long as he's got something to prove about the age thing, then he's going to be there and he's going to win that game.
Yeah.
You know, the big one.
That's
so.
Right. So.
Whether you like Brady or not, he's the real thing.
That's right. Deal with it. So if and when South Carolina wins tomorrow, what do you do to celebrate?
I don't know yet. I have to wait and see on that one.
Okay.
Might be some more Oreo ice cream or cookies or something.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds good. All
but
right.
But anyway, who's in the pros this weekend?
A lot of games. There's a lot of games in the NFL this weekend.
You know, the Dolphins are surprising. They beat the Jets, but anybody could beat the Jets. Who are they playing this week?
The Panthers. Do the Dolphins beat the Panthers on Sunday?
Yeah, I would say it upsets in the groove.
Okay.
So,
you think the Dolphins win?
Yeah, I think the Dolphins go pull an upset over the Panthers.
All right. Well, we'll see. The Panthers are favored by two. I'll give you my official picks coming up. Appreciate it, as always, Super Dave, who sees a 21-14 victory for South Carolina. He mentioned the Egg Bowl last night, and I was surprised that Ole Miss was an underdog, and they get out of there with the victory. Speaking of rivalries, of course, we have the Palmetto Bowl tomorrow, South Carolina and Clemson. Joining us now is former Clemson linebacker LaVon Kirkland, who spent over a decade in the NFL. He's with us now. LaVon, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, my friend. How you doing? Happy belated Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy belated Thanksgiving. Appreciate the time. I know you're out and about trying to take advantage of the Black Friday deals this afternoon, so appreciate the time from you. For this game tomorrow, Clemson, South Carolina, you obviously played in this rivalry. As somebody who was part of this, what does this game mean to you when these two teams match up at the end of the season like this?
Well, it's really a hate fest. It's two teams that clearly do not like each other. They're fighting for state pride, the state championship. And, you know, this is something that you have to live with 365 if you don't win. But if you do win, you got bragging rights. So it's a game that's a lot of fun, a lot of intensity, especially when you're playing at William-Price at nighttime. It's just one of those games that means a lot to the fans and also the players.
Now, you didn't lose to South Carolina. There was that one game you mentioned playing in Columbia. You guys won 45-0 during your playing days. When you think back to your matchups against South Carolina, what stands out most from your playing days in the Palmetto Bowl?
Well, you know, we were really good teams, especially on defense. And I just remember the one game in 89, as you mentioned before, you know, we warmed up in the white pants and just looked like we had our all white on. And then we go into the locker room and lo and behold, the orange pants are hanging in the locker. And at that point in time, I knew we were gonna win. I didn't know about how much, but I knew we were really excited about it. We came out, our fan base went crazy, and we got off to a really good start and ended up winning the game 45-0. So, but, you know, I remember the 1987 game when we did lose down there. I remember all the home games that we played. It was a lot of fun. It really was a lot of fun. It was probably better because we did win all of them. But, you know, it's an intense rivalry. And you know, with rivalry games, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, certainly, which takes us to tomorrow night for this game. South Carolina, the 11.5-point dog to Clemson. Gamecock fans probably feel better about this matchup than the last couple of years. How do you see this game going? From what we've seen from Clemson, and they're playing better football now here at the end of the year than to start the year, how do you think South Carolina matches up with Clemson here this season?
Well, you know, I watched the South Carolina-Auburn game last week, and, you know, they look like they're a team that's growing as well at the right time, you know. They seem to play really well at home. Seems to be a lot of energy. They got some guys who can make some plays. I think Clemson is improving as far as running the ball. I still think they're a little inconsistent as far as passing the ball and really inconsistent as far as drives are concerned. So I think it's going to be a really close game, more so than it has been in the last 3 to 4 years. I think it's going to be a game where it's going to be white knuckle time, and I think it's going to go into the fourth quarter.
What do you believe? You know, fourth quarter game could come down to one play, one final possession. What do you think could make the difference in this game tomorrow between these two?
You know, just like most games, I think the team that can eliminate the turnovers and the big plays will be the team that's going to probably win this game. I think a turnover would be devastating, especially something like a pick six. So I think the team that can control the ball, run the ball well, and eliminate penalties and turnovers will be the team that's going to win this game.
For Clemson, they have been playing better here second half of the season. They looked like the Clemson we were expecting against Wake Forest this past Saturday. What have you seen from them in recent weeks where we have seen this improvement, where they do look more like what we were expecting than early on in the season? What has stood out to you about Clemson lately?
Well, they seem to be running the ball. They have a 1-2 punch that's pretty good with Shipley and Mace back there. And Pace. It is Pace, yeah. Those guys seem to run the ball pretty well. And when you can have two running backs that can deliver the mail like they can, you definitely have an opportunity. It seems like the offensive line is blocking a little bit better, even on pass protection. So that's what I see. And DJ really last week, I thought he made some better decisions. than what he'd done before. Still a little bit off as far as his accuracy is concerned. But I tell you what, man, as far as deep balls, man, the kid can really throw the ball. And I think for him, it's just kind of seeing it. You know, I think he sees it a little bit better. He has some experience. So they have picked up the game a lot more than they did early on in the season. And they're respectable 8-3. You know, it's not playoff worthy, but they're playing better. It's a young team. So I think this offense is gelling at the right time.
Now, you said you think it's going to be a close game into the fourth quarter. I don't know if you said which side. Do you think Clemson continues the winning streak and gets out of there with a victory tomorrow?
I think it's going to be close. I think, you know, I'm pulling for Clemson to win, of course, because I played at Clemson. But honestly, I really don't know. I hate to have those eerie feelings, but I do. I think them playing at Williams-Brice and the energy that they generate is going to be key for them. And so if they're playing at Death Valley, I'd be a little bit better. I feel a little bit better about it, but I really just don't know. I think it's going to be a really close game. Would I be surprised if South Carolina win this game? I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Couple last things for LeVon Kirkland before we let you get back to it. Number one, from your playing days in this rivalry, do you think the rivalry has only grown since then? Or think back to when you were playing. Was it, you know, equally as big of a deal then as it is now? What have you seen from this rivalry over the years since your playing days?
Oh, man, I think that in my day, man, the rivalry was serious. I think that we really took it personally, that we took ownership. So in a lot of ways, I see it, I think the rivalry back then was a little bit more exciting. But, of course, I was playing. And then you look at it now, it's just been kind of really lopsided. The excitement is still there. You know, you still think you have a shot or a chance. But I think with Coach Beamer and Coach Dabo, I think we're going to start having some classic battles with the Clemson and South Carolina rivalry. I think that rivalry is going to start bouncing back. I really do.
Before we let you go, stepping away from the rivalry, I know that your name is included for the College Football Hall of Fame ballot. I've tried to look up the time frame in all of this, but just what does it mean for you to be mentioned, be put on the ballot for the great career that you did have at Clemson as part of the ballot for the College Football Hall of Fame?
Well, I've never been mentioned in the College Hall of Fame before. So for me, it's indeed an honor. I think any time that you could be nominated is awesome, because you know that you've done some really good work and that you have a career that you can be extremely proud of. So I'm definitely proud of that fact, man. I'm looking forward to being a part of the Hall of Fame. I'm looking forward to being in there at some point in time. But yeah, I'm telling you, it was real cool. It really was, man. It's just, I think at this age, man, the more accolades you can get, man, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. And you certainly had a great career in college and the NFL. Last thing, Thanksgiving was yesterday. What's LeVon Kirkland's favorite thing of the Thanksgiving meal, the Thanksgiving dinner? What's your number one go-to thing?
Well, I like dressing, to be honest with you. Dressing and the gravy that goes with it. But I also like, after you finish eating and it's been like 3 hours later, to go back and get some of that ham and just make a good old country ham sandwich.
Absolutely.
You know, just with mayo, and you warm over the ham, and you put it between two slices of white bread, not wheat bread, not rye bread, or anything healthy. You put it between two pieces of white bread, and you just go to work, man. This gives you so many memories of back home and just good eating, you know, before we started worrying about everything. So that's one of the things I do like about Thanksgiving, man. It's a holiday that really you don't have to do much. You know, you just got, you know, people got to cook. You just got to eat and just kind of watch football, man. It's a glorious day.
Yeah, it sure is. And it continues all weekend long with the leftovers and the great football games, including Clemson and South Carolina tomorrow. He's LeVon, played in this rivalry with Clemson, played in the NFL for over a decade. Appreciate the time, LeVon. We'll let you get back to your family. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Appreciate it from LeVon, who's out there. He's out taking advantage of the Black Friday deals. I did not peg him as one of those Black Friday shoppers. You got to get out. Right? People, it's a rat race. You don't want to be waiting in line and dealing with the traffic and everything. But he's out with his family. We appreciate him taking some time out. Not as confident. You know, you always talk to these former players. Find one who picks against their team. Right? And so I figured we had Perry Orth on earlier, former Gamecock quarterback. I figured, yeah, he's going to take South Carolina to win. And then we, of course, just had LeVon Kirkland on, former Clemson linebacker, and I figured, yeah, he's going to take Clemson to win. But you know what? He didn't sound all that confident, and he does think it's going to be a really close game coming down to the home stretch and give South Carolina a chance. So I thought we were going to get more, you know, pounding the, oh, yeah, we're going to put them in their place. We're going to beat them. But not so much. He's not feeling as confident as most years. I wonder what the general thought process for Clemson fans is going into tomorrow's game. Because just from the outside looking in, it seems like South Carolina fans are really confident. Where are Clemson fans on all this? And just to try to correct myself about never losing, he mentioned that 87 loss, but he didn't play in the game. So technically, he was part of the team. But, you know, when he was out there, never lost against South Carolina. But, yes, there was that loss in 87. And then after that, they won for the rest of his career and his time there. Appreciate the time from LeVon, especially taking some time out from his Black Friday shopping to join us to talk about the Palmetto Bowl tomorrow night. All right, when we come back, I'll give you my picks for the weekend. We do it every Friday this week, no different. I'll give you my official pick against the spread for Clemson, South Carolina, and all the other games in college football and the NFL as well. And we'll do it when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, my picks for the football weekend here in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time. Last segment from LeVon Kirkland, former Clemson great linebacker, who's on the ballot. I tried to look up when the voting is and they announced the class. I don't know for the College Football Hall of Fame, but I do know he's on the ballot hoping to be put in. All I found was the dinner for it is like next December. I want to know when they announce the inductees. But anyways, appreciate the time from LeVon and congratulations to him for just being nominated to be put on the ballot in the first place for the first time this year. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand, such as that conversation. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. Yeah, Eye of the Tiger. That's the case. The Gamecocks will be at home tomorrow, but you're going right into the Eye of the Tiger trying to take on Clemson and snap that losing streak tomorrow. Every Friday, I give you my picks against the spread. We do four in college, four in the NFL. We'll do that in just a moment, including my official pick for Clemson, South Carolina against the spread. If I had to pick an outright winner, I already said I think Clemson wins the game. The question then becomes, by how much? And I'll let you know in just a moment. But first, let me give you the numbers. We are at 55% on the year, 76, 62, and 3. So 14 games over 500 on the picks this football season. Last week, we were 500, 4-4. I went 3-1 in college football, but only 1-3 in the NFL, so it was a wash. But overall in the year, 14 over 500, 55%. We've been better as the year's gone on. You know I love my numbers, so I got all sorts of different data points. Last 2 months, we've been over 60% in college football, over 60% in the last 31 NFL games I've given, so on and so forth. We'll try to continue it here. I have to be honest, this rivalry weekend, I like the NFL numbers better than college. There are some tough numbers in college football, in these rivalry games. And the cliche is, you know, you throw the record out the window, so maybe that makes it harder to predict. But there are some interesting lines for these rivalry games. So with that said, let's get to it. Four in college, four in the NFL, including Clemson and South Carolina. These are my picks of the week.
It's time to earn some cash.
Woohoo!
It's Luke's Picks of the Week.
Great cash, homie.
a lot to choose from in college football. Let's begin in college football. And so we could build the suspense, I'll leave Clemson, South Carolina for the last one. Elsewhere in college football, Penn State favored by 2 at Michigan State. One of those lines that seem a little funny. You have Penn State on the road against the number 12 team, and Penn State is ranked. Thinking, what's going on here? They opened as an underdog. Now they're favored. May seem a little fishy. But here's how I look at it. Couple of different things. Number one, Michigan State obviously just got embarrassed. Now, normally, I like, at least in the NFL, to bet on teams that got embarrassed the week prior. But for Michigan State, the way they lost last week was that pass defense, which is the worst in the Big Ten. It's terrible. It has been all year. Well, for Penn State, Sean Clifford, I have never been the biggest fan of, but he has been playing better of late. He got banged up against Rutgers last week. He's expected to be back for tomorrow. Maybe that's why the line changed. Maybe they thought he was unavailable at first. As the week's gone on, they know Sean Clifford's going to play, so Penn State moves to the favorite. But last four games, Sean Clifford has posted a quarterback rating over 100 in each of the four games, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception over the four games, over 360 yards in 2 of the four games, played really well against Ohio State, played well against Michigan. Those are both top 10 teams. Now he goes up against Michigan State with that lousy pass defense. So I think Sean Clifford plays well. I think Penn State wins. The other aspect for Michigan State, your season, for all intents and purposes, ended last week. That was your playoff game, and you got embarrassed. So, yes, we could say usually you count on those teams to bounce back, but what if they have another letdown this week? What a disappointing outcome that was. Their season on the line, their whole season in front of them, that was more than just a beatdown on the football field, right? That was like a soul-stealing win for us. They were up 49-0 in the biggest game of Michigan State's season. And you have college kids. These aren't paid professionals. So you don't know how these college kids are going to respond. Instead of looking at the playoff, now you're looking at some other random bowl game. Meanwhile, Mel Tucker just got a big contract. So too did James Franklin. But in the reporting, James Franklin, they said that the contract was offered originally 9 weeks ago. My point being, James Franklin, this is nothing new. He just finally accepted, but he's known he's had this all along. For Mel Tucker, we first got reports of this last week leading up to that blowout against Ohio State. I'm not saying you kick your feet up afterwards, right? But it's a little bit different when you sign a $95 million contract. James Franklin just signed his, but he's had that on his agent's desk for almost the entire season. Nothing new. In fact, Penn State has started to play poorly maybe since that news. They've lost 4 of their last 6. There'd maybe just be a little bit of, you know, you get a little content. You sign for a contract that's pretty much guaranteed $95 million. Mel Tucker signed that deal officially this week. It was offered last week. They got blown out on Saturday. So I think Penn State's a little more motivated. I think they have the better matchup in terms of their offense versus Michigan State's defense. I think Penn State wins. I like them better when they're an underdog, but I'll still take them as a 2-point favorite. I usually don't take big numbers, so here's what I'm going to do, and I usually don't like to do this either. I'm going to do a teaser. Notre Dame, Alabama. They're both favored by 20. I'll tease it just 6 points down to 14. And you give up some odds. They'll probably both cover the 20 points anyways, but to feel extra confident, and I usually don't include teasers, but I would tease them down to a 14-point favorite each, Notre Dame and Alabama. Alabama, we've seen the viral clip this week from Nick Saban. I think he goes out there and takes it out on Auburn. And look, you throw the records out the window in these rivalry games. Alabama has struggled when going to Auburn in the Iron Bowl. But Auburn has lost 3 in a row. They're without their starting quarterback. Things haven't gone so well for them. They better pound Tank Bigsby all day tomorrow. That's where Alabama has been vulnerable this year. But I just think Alabama comes out. I think they put the foot down. I think they send the message. They gear up for Georgia next week. I think they cover probably the 20 as well. But just to be extra careful, extra safe, I'll tease it down to 14. Same with Notre Dame. This number has really gone up. It was at about 16 earlier this week. I really liked it there. It's gone up to 20. They take on Stanford. Stanford is a bad football team. They have nothing left to play for. For Notre Dame, they're fighting for a playoff spot. And the problem for Notre Dame is they don't have a conference championship. This is the last thing they can put on tape or on paper for the playoff committee. So you know they're going to want to send the message. And they could do it here. Stanford is 3-8 this year. They're lousy. Notre Dame has been one of the more underrated teams, even though they're ranked sixth. I don't think people give them enough attention with the year that they've had this season. They've been really good, outscoring opponents, blowing opponents out this month. Offense has been good. They're going to blow out Stanford. They probably will cover the 20. You know, if you want to be bold, take them at the 20 and Alabama with 20 as well. I'm a little more cautious, so I would tease it down. Notre Dame, Alabama at the 14, but I would also probably take both as the 20-point favorite. Elsewhere in college football, before we get to the Palmetto Bowl, I'm going to take Ohio State favored by 7 against Michigan. Don't feel great about it, but for Ohio State, look, Michigan can get after the quarterback. It's just from what I've seen this year, I think Ohio State is the better team. That's why they're a touchdown favorite on the road. And then when it comes to trying to make up the difference on the field, Ohio State has more talent than Michigan State. Ohio State has had the better year. So then the difference, it comes down to coaching. How can you win with a less talented team? Well, coaching. And I'm a big Harbaugh guy. But then you point to history. He hasn't beaten Ohio State. And I don't think he will tomorrow. 7, I like it without the hook. Right, 7, I like it a lot better if it was 6. But I could see Ohio State getting a late score to push it to double digits. I could see Ohio State winning by 10. It's a close game, but, you know, they squeak it out by 10. I'll take Ohio State to cover the 7 points. I think the offense will be too much for Michigan. And then the Palmetto Bowl. I've already told you I think Clemson wins. This number opened at 14. It's down to 11.5. I really struggled with this one. I think South Carolina could keep it close. I think it could be a one-score game. I mean, even under the 11 could be a multi-score game. 11.5 is a lot. But, as I mentioned earlier, we've had one game the last 12-plus years that was one possession between these two. Usually, they are double-digit wins. And if there's going to be a team that wins by double digits, I would think it would be Clemson. I opened the show talking about this afternoon. Not all records or wins are created equally. You feel good about both of these teams in the spot they're in right now. But you see, well, South Carolina, they beat Auburn, who've lost 3 in a row. They don't have their quarterback. They beat Florida, who fired their coach. Clemson just played a great game against Wake Forest. Even going back to the beginning of the year, gave Georgia their hardest battle. I think Clemson comes in there, and they put their foot down as well. This is the one I'm probably least confident about, but I'll take Clemson 11.5. I think they win, and I'll take them to cover the spread as well. Also, throw in NC State, 6-point favorite against UNC. I'd probably take them there as well. All sorts of college games that I like this weekend. Probably like too many of them. All right, to the NFL. We always include the local teams. The Falcons are on the road against Jacksonville. Atlanta's now a 2-point favorite against the Jags. I'm going to try not to overthink this. Let's just take the Falcons. The Falcons have been embarrassingly bad the last 2 weeks, but they're still better than Jacksonville. At least they should be. And they have extra time to prepare. They played last Thursday, so you got extra time against one of the worst teams in the league. Hopefully, Cordarrelle Patterson is back on Sunday. And the problem for the Falcons was that Bill Belichick took Kyle Pitts away. The offense couldn't do anything. I don't think the Jaguars can do that. Jaguars' pass defense is bottom 3 in the league. So I think the Falcons will get a little loose on Sunday. I think Matt Ryan will have a better game. 2-point spread, not much. You just essentially have to win the game. The Falcons, you better win on the road against Jacksonville. If you lose this one, things get real ugly in Atlanta in year one of Arthur Smith. I'll take the Falcons to win by 2. At least 2. Panthers on the road in Miami. Carolina's favored by 2.5. This number has gone up. The Panthers favored by 2.5 on the road against Miami. Don't feel great about it. I usually like home underdogs. I'm going to swallow the points. I'll take Carolina. Another week for Cam Newton in that offense. I think he'll be a little more comfortable. And on the other side, I mentioned it earlier, the Panthers have done the best job. They've pressured the quarterback more than anybody in the NFL the last month. The Dolphins' offensive line hasn't been great. And Tua's not very good under pressure. And Tua, just in general, hasn't been that great. So I think the Panthers will get after Tua. I think they'll make things tough on him. And Cam Newton is more of a playmaker than even Tua at this point. I think he'll make just enough plays, plus Christian McCaffrey. Don't feel great about it, but I'll take Carolina on the road to cover the 2.5 against the Dolphins. In terms of other games, on the slate tomorrow in the NFL. I'll give you two others. And these two I really like. Steelers at the Bengals. This number's come down. So the Steelers are only a 3.5-point underdog. I still like Pittsburgh. I think they win outright. Pittsburgh is 4-1 against the spread as an underdog this year. This is what Mike Tomlin does. And I had concerns about Ben Roethlisberger returning after the layoff from COVID. He played probably his best game of the year on Sunday. Meanwhile, on the other side, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, that offense has been a little quiet lately. They go up against a good Steelers defense. I got the advantage in coaching with Mike Tomlin against Zach Taylor, and this is where Tomlin does his best work. So you're giving me an underdog in a divisional game and a team that's very good as an underdog, I'm going to take him. By the way, the Bengals have not swept the Steelers since 2009. That's what they're trying to do on Sunday. So I just don't think Cincinnati can win both against Pittsburgh. They haven't done it in 12 years. So I'm going to take the Steelers to win outright. Therefore, I really like them as a 3.5-point underdog. And the last pick I'll give you for Sunday in the NFL, Chargers at the Broncos. This is similar, except the Broncos are at home and they're an underdog. You're going to give me a home dog in a divisional game? I will absolutely take it. The Broncos are an underdog at home against the Chargers, 2.5 points. Teddy Bridgewater is excellent as an underdog. So I think Denver wins this one Sunday at home against the Chargers. The Chargers are coming off that win Sunday night with Justin Herbert. He played really well. Well, now you go on the road against a top 10 defense in Denver. I don't think the Chargers should be favored. I think the wrong team's favored in this game. These two teams are pretty similar, but you have the Broncos at home. You have Teddy Bridgewater, who will take care of the football, who does his best work when doubted, and you're getting points. If you're Denver, I'll take them. Give me the Broncos, 2.5-point dog at home against the Chargers. And there you go. Picks for the weekend. In the NFL, we're rolling with the Falcons and Panthers, and then also the Steelers and the Broncos. And in college football, I'll begrudgingly take Clemson to cover. I'll take Ohio State to cover. NC State against UNC. Penn State against Michigan. And then pair them up, Notre Dame and Alabama. I would tease it down, but with that said, I'd also probably take a little bit of a chance where the numbers are right now, both favored by 20. I think especially Notre Dame, I feel better about Notre Dame against Stanford than Alabama against Auburn, but I think both games will be blowouts. But you can tease it down to 14 to give yourself a little more breathing room. And there you go, our picks for the weekend. Hopefully we have a winning week. We were 500 last week. We're 14 games over 500 on the year. We'll see how we do this weekend. If you're a Gamecock fan, obviously you hope I'm wrong about that one. I think Clemson wins, and if I had to make a pick, I'd take them to cover the 11.5. Which takes me to this. When we come back, we'll put the finishing touches on this Football Friday, getting ready for the rivalry weekend. We'll continue to look ahead to that Palmetto Bowl tomorrow night. Plus, also, our last Black Friday correspondent to see how things are going out there on this crazy day. Do all that next on this Football Friday. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Football Friday as we get ready for the Palmetto Bowl tomorrow between South Carolina and Clemson. Hence the song, which you'll be hearing throughout. You know, teams always try to prepare for hostile environments. I wonder if this week, Clemson, if you blast this song in particular at practice all week to get ready to go to Williams-Brice and try to take on that crowd and the Gamecocks tomorrow. Palmetto Bowl tomorrow night. I gave you my official picks for the football weekend last segment. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. And you can find the show on demand there, including all of my picks for the weekend, such as Clemson and South Carolina. The podcast is also available online and through our free app. And don't forget, you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just simply stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or our free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. And through that app, not only can you listen to the show live from anywhere in the world, but also on demand. The podcasts are available there. The podcast is also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com or wherever you listen to your podcast. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 11 different states and multiple countries on this Football Friday, as it's also Black Friday. We'll check in just a moment with our final Black Friday correspondent. Yesterday was Thanksgiving. Hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving. Hopefully you have plenty to be thankful for. Hopefully you got some good food and watched some football and got to see some family. I just realized that this finally just dawned on me the other day how underrated Thanksgiving is from the standpoint that it's more than just a one-day holiday. In fact, Thanksgiving itself may not even – it's not the best day of the weekend. Right? Like Wednesday's nice. Wednesday is actually the biggest bar night in the country, more so than New Year's Eve or anything else. The night before Thanksgiving, I don't know how that tradition kind of began, but everyone returns home for the holiday, especially kids in college that are coming home for probably the first time, and you want to go see your buddies. And it's a big party night Wednesday. Then you lead to Thursday, which is, of course, Thanksgiving. Then today, Black Friday, if you partake, but also just a day where you have leftovers. There's football on all afternoon. You just lounge around. You recover from yesterday. Hopefully, you're not working. And then it leads right into the weekend. And you have a normal weekend, except, again, more great football and leftover food in the fridge. So you can't beat it. It's a five-day thing. Right? Like Christmas isn't even that long of an event. For Christmas, maybe the 23rd. You're off of work. And you start to get in the mood, or you travel to the family, obviously Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. But then by the 26th, all right, it's like back to work. It's done with. You take down the decorations. People are throwing the tree out, and okay, back to work. It's a two-day, maybe three-day tops extravaganza. Halloween as well. Halloween, you're lucky if you even get a day. Sometimes Halloween's on a Tuesday, right? You're still working anyways, and then you got to take the kids out, and maybe that weekend you had like an adult Halloween party, but there's not much to it. Thanksgiving, though. It finally dawned on me the other day how underrated this holiday is because you get 5 days. Now, we're still here working for you today because that's what we do. But still, then you go home, you watch football. It's the weekend. You got great games this weekend. And not just that. We have the match, if you're interested in that, coming up at 4 o'clock, Bryson against Brooksy at 4. And then you also have college basketball. You have Duke and Gonzaga tonight. So a lot of great sports. Obviously, the NBA all weekend. The NFL this weekend, all the great rivalry games in college football, and you just lounge around and still recover from the multiple meals, you know, the two Thanksgiving dinners you had yesterday and all the leftovers, and you have a great time. Hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving. Bobby was kind enough to invite me over despite my put-downs on his Thanksgiving takes or defending my own Thanksgiving food takes. But then I said, I went out, I grabbed my own meal. I didn't want to trouble him. And it looked like I certainly missed out because they had quite the menu over there, including, I always said, if you're going to do dessert, especially on Thanksgiving, I don't want to hear about all these pies. You need chocolate in any good dessert. And they had chocolate cheesecake over there. Oh, man. So I really missed the boat. I felt bad not making it over there. But I said, I'll just go out, do my own thing. I'll lay low. Was traveling all week. And went out to a local restaurant, had a nice little Thanksgiving meal. Although I have to say, the stuffing. And I have talked so much about the stuffing. This was not 2006 Thanksgiving bad. But the stuffing was apple and chestnut stuffing, and not nearly as good as most stuffings or dressings, whatever you want to call it. This one wasn't it wasn't the worst I've had, but it also wasn't one of the best. And that makes the meal. It's all about the stuffing. But I got some turkey, got some green beans, some no Brussels sprouts for me. Most underrated food item out there. But a good meal nonetheless. And by the way, the place I went to, and it was a good spot, and it was the first time I've ever been there, they already had all the Christmas decorations up. It was Thanksgiving. We had Christmas music on. We had the hostess was dressed as Mrs. Claus. We had the workers were wearing like Home Alone shirts and different Christmas-themed sweaters. We had the whole place was decked out in Christmas stuff. I thought, it's Thanksgiving today. What's going on here? They said, yeah, we've had the Christmas stuff up, but we put it up this week. Couldn't you wait till today? Right? Today is now the start of Christmas on Black Friday. Now we move past Thanksgiving, and now you could turn ahead to Christmas. But today is Black Friday. It's the final last thing. You hold on to Thanksgiving before Christmas. You start your Christmas shopping today. It's Black Friday. You go out and try to get those deals. We caught up with LeVon Kirkland earlier, who was actually out participating in the Black Friday shopping with his family. Maybe you have been driving around today trying to get those great deals. Black Friday can be such a crazy day. We found some Black Friday correspondents for the Morrow Midday Show to help us out throughout the afternoon to let us know what's going on out there. We've checked in with one each hour, so it's time now before we go and before I get to my final thoughts for the Palmetto Bowl tomorrow. We have to check in our final Black Friday correspondent to see what is going on in the stores out in the Lowcountry today.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Reporting live from Best Buy, this is Andy Hamburg. All is quiet now, but there was some real commotion here earlier over by the video games. There was a long line over by that video game section, and kids were waiting to, you know, get the new games and stuff. There were only a few PlayStation 5s available, and some lady got the last one. And the employee behind the counter announced it was the last one they had left, and everyone was disappointed. You could hear the sighs in the back there, but then he found another one. And he tried to give it to a young kid who was just further back in line. And as he was beginning the motion to hand it to this kid, some grown man came barging over out of nowhere. He pushed the lady out of the way. The kid, too, he grabbed the PS5. And the kid fell over and he hit his head on one of the metal racks, you know, where they keep the video games. So then another kid steps up out of line. He socks the dude right in the head. And the guy falls over into a tower of Keurigs. Delicious. But the dude, he falls over, he gets up, he scurries away. The PS5 was broken. But the kid bought it anyways because, you know, it was such a good deal. You know, they were selling them for only 98% of the normal price today. So, not bad. Also, there was a good run on the 75-inch TVs earlier. A lot of new laptops as well. That's been busy today. Oh, and Arnold Schwarzenegger and a mailman who looked kind of like Sinbad. Yeah, they were in here earlier fighting over some action figure. All right, back to you, Dan Patrick.
He's not even on the network anymore.
No, I thought you said this was for DP. Who's this for? Who the f*** is that?
All right, thank you to all of our Black Friday correspondents. And don't mail out the checks. None of them even know what they're doing this for, the Morrow Midday Show. And that sounded an awful lot like the best plot for a Christmas movie, Jingle All the Way. If you're out there shopping, hopefully you're having better experiences on your Black Friday. The Palmetto Bowl's coming up tomorrow, South Carolina and Clemson. Now, we've had some predictions this afternoon. Perry Orth, former Gamecock quarterback, who played in the only one-possession game we've actually had in the last decade between these two. He said South Carolina, as you would imagine, 28-24. We had Super Dave. Known on the Morrow Midday Show for the one who nailed the Super Bowl prediction properly. And for his prediction tomorrow for the just as important Palmetto Bowl. He had South Carolina winning, lower scoring, 21-14. We had LeVon Kirkland on the show, former Clemson linebacker. And he wouldn't really give, bog him down on an actual pick. But he thought it would be close. One possession game into the fourth quarter. Wouldn't be surprised if South Carolina finds a way to win it. He said, of course, he'll be rooting for Clemson, as you would imagine. All three predictions, keeping it within a score. Then I gave you my prediction. I feel confident in saying that Clemson will win tomorrow. I feel far less confident in telling you that they'll cover the spread, which is 11.5. As I've been saying, unfortunately for this rivalry, really, they've been a lot of one-sided matchups. And if that's going to continue tomorrow and we get a one-sided matchup one way or the other, I certainly feel better expecting it from Clemson in a victory than anything else. Now, the point total for tomorrow, I touched on this earlier. It's gone up a little bit this week. Let me see what it's at right now. 43. I think that actually has come down since last night. I think it was 43.5. So 43. So Vegas, right, you know, you got a 24-17 game. That's 41. So you're looking at something like maybe a 24-20 game would hit the over, somewhere around there. I think it may be slightly more scoring. I would take the over 43, and maybe it'll be closer to 30. Perry Orth said earlier it's going to take 28 points to win. And if it's a one-possession game, maybe you're looking at a 28-24, like Perry said, a 28-21. That's certainly more than the 43-point total, a little higher scoring than Vegas may anticipate. But when it comes to this game, as I said, when you look at these two teams and the seasons they've had, South Carolina has exceeded expectations this year. They have had a good year. Clemson has not performed to their preseason expectations. Based off of that, they've had a bad year. But does that still mean that they have now closed the gap between one another? Does that still mean that they are evened out on the same level? At the end of the day, South Carolina, yeah, they exceeded expectations, but those expectations were only 3.5 wins in the eyes of Vegas for a reason. And Clemson didn't match expectations, which was to compete for a national championship, but they could still be a 10-win team. More recently, Clemson has won four in a row, scoring over 30 points in all four games. The offense has gotten going. And while South Carolina has won two of the last three, look at those two wins. Right, Auburn, which is in the midst of a three-game losing streak that will probably go to four tomorrow and did not have their quarterback. And Florida, who has been a real disaster, they're under 500 and fired their coach. The three conference wins for South Carolina this year have come against teams that are a combined 5-17 in the SEC, three of the worst teams in the conference, three of the four worst. Meanwhile, for South Carolina, 3-26 against ranked teams the last 8 years. Clemson is now ranked. So do we think that they have taken that big enough jump, or that Clemson has fallen off that much that they're meeting in the middle where the Gamecocks are in a spot where they can win this game tomorrow? It certainly helps that they're at home. That is a big advantage. If this game was at Clemson, I honestly wouldn't give much of a shot to South Carolina. But it helps that they're at home because you know it's going to be a wild atmosphere. South Carolina's 5-1 at home. They've been much better at home this year. And Clemson has not been nearly as good on the road. 2-3 on the road, but both wins were ugly wins. They've been much better at home. You know about the long winning streak of over 30 games at home. Home field advantage could play a big role in this one tomorrow. But when it comes to the game itself, if I'm South Carolina, like I said, continue being aggressive. Based off of the numbers, you know, going for it on fourth down, they've been one of the most aggressive teams in the SEC. Clemson has been one of the most conservative teams in the ACC. Be aggressive tomorrow if you're South Carolina, because you've already got your bowl spot. You're going to a bowl game in year one if you're Shane Beamer. You haven't beaten this team in years. You got nothing to lose. You're an underdog of double digits. Leave it all on the line tomorrow. Go out there, be aggressive, force the issue, try to make things happen. And if you could get some turnovers, that will swing the game. Clemson has turned over the football multiple times in four of their last five games. You could be opportunistic against this team. You could be aggressive. And that's why if I'm Clemson, I rely more on Will Shipley in the run game than I do DJ and the passing game. Because the Gamecocks' rush defense is 95th in the country. Shipley's been running it well. And also, that doesn't bring as large of a turnover risk. Don't like this matchup too much for the Gamecocks. I'm hoping for just an interesting game. But I think Clemson continues the winning streak tomorrow. Whatever happens, we'll be here Monday to break it all down. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the leftovers. Enjoy the overrated Black Friday deals. Enjoy the Palmetto Bowl. And we'll be here Monday to talk it all out. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again Monday at noon. It's the Tomorrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.